Now, over the weekend, social media exploded with claims that former US President Barack Obama had declared aliens are real. In reality, during a podcast interview reported by The Guardian, he said there's no evidence that extraterrestrials have visited Earth, but that didn't stop the online frenzy. To separate fact from fiction and to guide us through what's actually happening in the skies this week, we're joined by the man behind Ireland's only weekly radio astronomy slot, David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Eugene.
Now, David, let's start with the weekend's Obama says aliens are real storm. In that podcast interview, he actually said there's no evidence aliens have visited Earth. What exactly did he say, and how did it get twisted so dramatically online?
Well, apparently he was involved in a series of quick-fire questions. So, are aliens real? The answer is most of us believe they are. A lot of people, scientists, serious scientists think there must be other intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. That doesn't mean to say that they're here buzzing us now, and in a quick fire round of questions, that full story doesn't come out. So he clarified, apparently, it was on Instagram over the weekend, what he was really saying, which is that a lot of educated people believe that the way we think life got started here on the Earth to lead to humans could probably happen at multiple places throughout the huge, and huge is too small a word, universe. But they may be in other galaxies, in which case our technology could not detect them. And this is one of the things that I love about the subject, is that, you know, we've only got one instance of intelligent life, so we can't really say how common it is. Maybe there was a fluke in how humans came to evolve, and it's only happened once in the history of the universe. And we genuinely are alone. Or it could be like Star Trek, and there's lots of races for us to meet and form a federation with. And nobody knows yet for sure which of those two extremes is the truth. I think Obama knew that. He answered the question very quickly. There are probably aliens, but are they buzzing the Earth? He is President of the United States. He actually asked to be briefed on, is there anything true about aliens being stored in Area 51? And was told no. He's also said, as you know, he wasn't being lied to. Maybe there are. The military have decided to keep it a secret, even from the current president of the day. And you've got all that kind of information mixing up together. The conspiracy theorists have a field day, which is what's happened with the storm in a teacup.
Absolutely. And, of course, those science fiction programs that you mentioned, sometimes that science fiction then can become non-fiction, because they have known to what was science fiction ended up becoming reality at some point.
Yeah, look at little communicators they have on their Badger, the computer that they can talk to. Unheard of in the 60s when Star Trek became a thing. And today, of course, we all take it for granted. You can talk to your phone with AI now. You can talk back. And, you know, things are moving very quickly, hardly surprising. As the human population increases beyond 8 billion, there are more techie people out there. We're better connected as well. Information's flowing around the planet like never before. And I think if you're ever trying to predict the future, it's becoming even more difficult. I have no idea what's going to happen. Will AI take over? A lot of people say no. So it looks like it could. Will we detect these aliens? Some of the serious scientists involved in the search were listening for radio waves coming in from other intelligent civilizations. They expect we will actually find them within our lifetime. We did a three-hour documentary about signs of life in the universe on RTE during lockdown.
I'm going to come to that shortly. Yeah. But and I'm always thinking when I see here AI, I'm always thinking of Terminator 2, Judgment Day, the film. Arnold Schwarzenegger and co. And I'm always thinking that the way we're going could that also be non-fiction in time to come. But anyway, in relation to this, David, you were on East Coast FM in Bray discussing the so-called fiasco, and RTE covered as well. Why do these alien headlines spread so quickly when the original quote says the opposite? And does it frustrate you as someone who's been communicating with astronomy for decades?
Yeah, well, I think what happened at the weekend was this podcast went out. It has Obama saying aliens are real. That generated a furore. And then afterwards, when he realized how trending it was, shall we say, how viral it had gone, then he published the correction. But that's too late. The horse has bolted. Luck in the gate after that is a bit late. And here we are still talking about it today. But it's good in one way, in that we all get to talk about the real science behind finding those aliens.
Yeah.
Where are we today, for instance?
Yeah, because who, even if Obama, I don't know why Obama went and corrected it, because who says he's wrong? Who can say, no, you're wrong, I have proof? No one.
Well, I think it's a lot, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you're going to get misreported by people who have less than ideal grasp of, you know, how to communicate a story, shall we say, if we're polite to them.
Mm.
So, you know, if he says aliens exist, then everyone's going to assume that such a vague statement means, oh, he was the president. He knew what was really going on in Area 51, which is the most likely place there are aliens being stored. Personally, I don't believe that. Never have. We know what was going on in Area 51. It was top secret military nuclear development zone. Mm. So the military were never going to comment what's going on one way or the other. It's far too much of a national secret. And that led, you know, to conspiracy theories being able to pop up. The military didn't care. They knew what was going on. They were protecting their real secrets, probably more devastating than aliens, the kind of nuclear weapons we developed in the end. And, of course, it grew up into this huge cultural thing that it is now.
And, David, as you mentioned there, you were also involved in that production of the major three-hour documentary on life in the universe a few years ago. When we strip away the hype, what does serious science say about the possibility of life beyond Earth right now?
Well, we've got a few minutes to talk about it. We had 3 hours on air. And by the way, you can still listen to it if you just search for Signs of Life, RTE.ie. It's on the RTE Extra channel, the online channel of RTE, and you can listen to it all 3 hours now. And the producer involved did an excellent job, and we just helped with a little bit of directing people along. So it certainly was an Astronomy Ireland production. And the one thing that impressed me was that he went to all of the world authorities on, you know, what kind of planet do you need for life to form on? How are you going to make life on those planets? And it's a world-class production that didn't get the reputation or coverage that it deserved. So Signs of Life, RTE, have a listen to it, and you've got 3 hours to listen to a good podcast with lots of real science, you know, made in 2022, so still very relevant, and do that. I can't recommend that highly enough.
And if they want to hear your interview on East Coast FM, they can download that from the site as well. I'm sure it'll be on a podcast.
It'll be on our own, yeah. Astronomy.ie/audio. It'll be put up this evening, the recording of it, and you can listen to it tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Now, let's have a look back at last Friday's National Jupiter Watch. You've described it as one of the best viewing events in 3 decades, with perfectly clear skies. What were people seeing, and why was it such a standout night? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, Astronomy Ireland was founded in 1990, so Jupiter will come around and be visible roughly once a year, but the height that is in the sky varies over a 12-year period, and it won't be higher up than it is this year, until 2036, a decade's time. So the higher up Jupiter is seen in the telescope, the less it shimmers because of the Earth's atmosphere. It's the way that stars low down twinkle more than stars high up. So we actually had a very steady night. We had some of the most powerful telescopes in Ireland, and it was terrible weather the whole week leading up to it, and bad weather the next day. So we got this beautiful window where skies were perfectly clear. Jupiter was extremely high. And we chose a night, because we have a couple of months to see Jupiter well, when the great red spot was facing us. And you could see the red spot plainly in the telescope. Sometimes when it's shimmering around, even a big telescope is hard pushed to show it, but not on Friday night. Now, we'll probably have another watch around the March equinox for the moon. It's always the best time to see the moon. And Jupiter will still be visible then, so we'll probably swing the telescopes onto Jupiter. But last Friday, we told everyone it was going to be the best views of Jupiter they would probably get in their lifetime. And the weather, Mother Nature, everything, all worked together to make it so. And I'll never forget the views that we had. People there were extremely impressed. Most members of Astronomy Ireland don't have big telescopes. They're probably less than, certainly less than 1 in 10, probably 1 in 100 has a really big telescope. So to show that to the general public live was phenomenal. I don't think people are ever going to forget that. There'll be another Jupiter watch next year. To be honest, it won't be that bad. If we get a really steady night, we could get views next year as good as we did this year.
Okay, okay. So, so that was, and I'm sure you'll have pictures in the next edition of the magazine, will you?
Yeah, it's very hard to photograph what the human eye can see.
Okay.
The human eye is brilliant. It's like a video camera with a supercomputer attached. It can just, the moments when the image freezes, it can memorize that and forget about all the blurry bits in between. There is now software and telescopes that can do it together, but it takes hours of processing. The human eye brain is doing it in real time. But we got some pictures, certainly show the great red spot, some of the other surface features as well, and we could see the moons of Jupiter, not just as dots, but as little disks. We couldn't see detail on them. That really requires a giant telescope to see that from the Earth. But it was a fascinating sight anyway, and we'll have pictures and a report of the event in the March issue is just going to print at the moment, so it'll probably be the April issue in a month's time.
Now, the big story this week is Mercury making its best evening appearance, or black tie event, if you like, of the year, technically peaking on Friday the 20th, but visible from tonight, low in the western twilight. Why is Mercury normally so hard to spot, and why is 2026 making it unusually easy?
Yeah, and as soon as the show is over, I'll be heading out to look over and the sunlit glow, the strong twilight, to see if I can spot Mercury. And I'll be doing that every clear night in the coming week. The 20th is on Friday. That's technically the best. And what happens with Mercury is that it's the closest planet to the sun, three times closer than we are. So it's never going to get particularly far away from the sun. And in spring, for Ireland at least, conditions are right such that when the sun sets, Mercury can be standing almost directly above the sun. So although it's not far from the sun, roughly your hand span at arm's length. That's the kind of difference from your thumb to the tip of your little finger. That's how far away Mercury can get from the sun at best. And when the sun goes down below the horizon, the sky begins to get dark, and Mercury's left there low in the west where the sun went down, then you can see it with the naked eye. I've seen it easily with the naked eye. We only get that conditions for about 5 to 10 days every spring. In the evening sky. It does happen again in autumn, but at dawn, and nobody likes getting up for that. And then this year, on top of all that, the moon has to be in the right place at the right time, and it is this year, so we'll get the moon near it. All these details are in Astronomy Ireland magazine with diagrams showing what to look out for. So Wednesday night is actually the night the moon is closest to them. And as well as that, people listening to the show and reading the magazine will know they'll be able to see Saturn over in the west. And Mercury is the lower right of Saturn. And Saturn's higher up, so really easy to see. I could see it last night, easily with the naked eye. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky, stars in quotes, for the planet Saturn. And just to the lower right of Saturn, that's where Mercury is. Again, about a hand span at arm's length to the lower right of Saturn. So you've got the moon signposting it on Wednesday, Saturn signposting it all week, the best show of the month. There's full details of this in the magazine. We also emailed them out to all the members last Wednesday as well. So every clear night, get out and see if you've become one of the less than 1% of people who've ever seen Mercury live in their whole lives. So it's a very elite club. You will need a clear western horizon, though. So if you've got built up trees, buildings, whatever, in the west, you're going to need to find somewhere else.
And
Big Park would be great.
And why does the moon have to be just in the right place at just the right time for this to happen? Why, just explain that in layman's language.
Yeah. Well, Mercury is actually brightest before it's at its best on Friday. So it's going to fade off. So probably 2, 3, maybe 4 days after Friday, you could still see it and be getting lower. But it's also getting dimmer. Whereas now, it's at its brightest and slowly fading. So it fades slowly up to its Friday best height above the horizon. So all those factors come together. And the moon takes 30 days, a month, to go one surface. If it's not in the right place for those 5 to 10 days each spring when this happens, then it's not going to be near Mercury. And that's probably going to happen 3 or 4 of every years that the moon's in the wrong place. So it's only 1 in 4 years on average, roughly, that the moon will help signpost Mercury. And we've got Saturn as well, which makes this year doubly useful.
Now, David, Saturn, you say, is acting as a kind of a signpost to finding Mercury. Now, this is very useful, is it not, for beginners? Because using Saturn, especially when it's near the moon on Thursday, to track down the elusive Mercury, this is a good time for beginners to get out there and get some real value out of their telescopes or whatever.
Yeah, if you've got a telescope, you've got all these planets to see. So you have Mercury, Saturn, right next to Saturn, but 500 times dimmer is Neptune. They're actually closest this week, but I think that's best left to the experts. Jupiter blazing away. We've almost forgotten about Jupiter being way up there. As soon as it gets dark, you'll see that. But it's well to the upper left of what's going on low in the west. So we've got on Wednesday evening the moon near Mercury, and then the next day it'll have moved up to be near Saturn. So you can see Saturn, and the rings are almost edge on, but you'll definitely see them in a telescope. But with the naked eye, you can see Mercury, Saturn, and Jupiter. And Venus is going to come in toward the end of the month. And we're wondering, will people be able to see Venus, Mercury, Saturn, and Jupiter with the naked eye on the same night? That's quite rare. And people with telescopes can go looking for two other planets, Uranus and Neptune. And they could get practically all of the planets that we can see in the solar system.
Now, and that close pairing of Saturn and Neptune this week, what would experienced observers be able to see that casual sky watchers might miss?
Yeah, it's a bit of a quirky thing. It's not something very serious and very difficult to see. So Saturn is 500 times brighter than Neptune. So Saturn's easy to see with the naked eye. Neptune, even a pair of binoculars will struggle to show it. You really do need a telescope. They're about just on what 1 degree apart. And to give you an idea, your little finger held at arm's length is roughly a degree across. So there'll be less than the separation of the width of your little finger at arm's length apart. So a telescope will fit the two of those into the same field of view. Well, you're going to see Saturn as a nice ringed planet, and all Neptune's going to be as a tiny dot, because it's only a line of sight effect. Saturn is about 9 times further from the Sun than we are, but Neptune is about 30 times further away. And it's about half the width, roughly, of Saturn. So it's smaller. It's lit up by very dim sunlight that far away. And this is what makes it 500 times dimmer than Saturn. So it's a bit of a quirky thing for the experts. I think for the average member of the public, you're probably better off waiting to see pictures anyone takes with a telescope in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And it doesn't mean anything. Saturn's not really near Neptune. It's just a chance line of sight effect. But something interesting to photograph, nonetheless. I'll be having a go.
Absolutely. Now, finally, David, there's a lunar eclipse trending online this week, but none of it, of course, will be visible from Ireland. When is our next real eclipse spectacle, and how dramatic will August the 12th be, when up to 98% of the sun covered from Irish soil?
Yeah, the eclipse tomorrow, in fact, is only visible from the Antarctic, so we can forget about that. I think most people in the world can. That's an eclipse of the sun. But there's another eclipse of the sun coming up on the 12th of August this year. It's a Wednesday, that's late in the evening, and it will, the actual path of the Earth, of the moon's shadow as it crosses the Earth, where if you're inside that shadow, you will see a total eclipse of the sun. Day will turn to night. Stars will come out for a few minutes. I've seen two of them myself. There hasn't been one visible from Ireland since 1724, and there won't be one visible from Irish soil till 2090. And the good news is, a lot of people like to travel to Spain. It's way over a million a year Irish travel there. And on that day, crossing roughly diagonally across mainland Spain, from sort of the top of Portugal, if you like, down past Madrid and onto Valencia. In fact, you live in Valencia or you're holidaying in Valencia, you'll actually see the total eclipse. That's where it passes over. Then it goes across the Balearic Islands and off into the Mediterranean.
Okay.
So because it's that close, 98% of the sun will be covered from Ireland. So it'll actually get a bit dark, a bit cool, but it won't they won't turn tonight.
Okay, we'll leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine and the voice of Ireland's only weekly astronomy slot here on Community Radio Kilkenny City. Thank you for cutting through the noise on the alien headlines and for reminding us that the real wonders are right above our heads. Signs of Life on RTE is this documentary on the RTE website if people want to look for that. Clear skies, David, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, and everybody should go out now and watch Mercury or look for it.
Okay.
Go in the west.
Take care. Okay, stay tuned.